Welcome to Take 5, a podcast brought to you by New Leaf Training and Development. Each edition is an inspiring interview with a leader worth listening to. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Paul Butler. I'm one of the client partners at New Leaf Training and Development, and I'm so delighted to be joined today by Betty Dunowitz, who's the founder and CEO of If You Ask Betty. Betty, can you believe it? For nearly 20 years now here at New Leaf, we've focused on our core purpose of just simply helping people in organizations better manage themselves, lead others, and grow business acumen. I just wondered, what are your recommended best practices? But please start there by telling us a little bit more about your organization, what you do, and who you serve. So over to you, Betty, and I'll wrap it up when you're done.
Thanks so much, Paul. Hi, everyone. I'm Betty Dunowitz, founder, CEO, the actual Betty of If You Ask Betty. And I spend a lot of my time really helping people become better humans by helping them believe in themselves and helping organizations design better learning. So one of the ways that I sort of live out my personal mission is through my podcast, which is called the If You Ask Betty podcast. It's a podcast about all types of development topics for all kinds of learning professionals. So there's a good chance you fall into that. And so today the question you're asking me is, what are my recommended best practices to help people and organizations be their best? And so I'm actually going to try to give you five in 5 minutes. Think of these as like a starter pack, right? So it's like not an exhaustive list, but it's five powerful places to begin. And all five of these I learned through conversations in my podcast and on my podcast. So, all right, start with number one. I want to say, start by helping people remember who they are. Okay, so I talk and write a lot about imposter syndrome. So it's that inner critic, that loud, obnoxious voice in your head that says, hey, you're not enough. You don't belong here. This thing that you're trying to do is a bad idea. I hear that voice all the time. And so if we want people and organizations to be their best, we have to do what we can to help them overpower that voice. So best practice number one is help people regularly remember who they are and what they've already done well. And so what this might look like, it might look like encouraging people to keep like a wins journal or, you know, a digital recognition folder. I know for me, I've been in this industry for over 20 years. And when I started, I had an actual file folder of like thank you notes, praises, you know, digital awards that I won. That doesn't really exist anymore. So we have to kind of create another way to do it. One best practice is, and a friend of mine does this, she told me about this, is every night she writes down three wins, even if they're small, and to sort of track evidence of her success. And then she also writes down three goals for the next day. And then she kind of goes to bed with that thought process of, I did this awesome thing, and this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. And when she gets up in the morning, she's, you know, she's ready and raring to go. So that's one way to do that. Another way is build in reflection moments in learning programs and meetings where people have to say maybe three things that they're proud of. I actually had this today in another meeting. And here's the thing. You're probably thinking, well, we've done that before. Good. Do it again. Because there are always new things happening and reasons to remember who you are and what you've done and what you've accomplished. So let's keep putting that in front of people so that they remember that. And then the last thing is teach your leaders to say in their one-on-ones, hey, let's talk about the things that you've accomplished before they jump into, hey, here's what I need you to fix. Here's what I need you to do. Here's what's wrong. Let's start with that. Hey, let's talk about what you got done this week, this day, this month. Because the thing is, when people have like real data on what their strengths are and their achievements, that inner critic, their argument starts to fall apart. And so when then those individuals, they'll actually show up at work from sort of that grounded, confident space, and the whole organization gets better because of that. If you want to learn more about this, there's over 50 episodes about imposter syndrome. So pick one and check it out at the If You Ask Betty podcast. Okay, number two, design with humans at the center, especially when you talk about accessibility. So this is your second best practice. So season three of the If You Ask Betty podcast actually opens with the series about accessibility called I Have Questions About Accessibility. And what I did was I brought in experts on accessible learning from all over the globe and even had a session with people who are on the other side of the aisle. So the side that actually would greatly benefit from accessible learning. And so one thing I learned is that accessibility benefits everyone, right? So, I mean, just think about how often you turn subtitles on or captions on when you're watching your favorite show. I got to be honest, whether the room is noisy or not, I feel like I can't hear it if I can't read it. We've gotten to that point. Or think about like when you're walking on the sidewalk and there's sort of this curb cut in the sidewalk that helps strollers, luggage, wheelchairs, people who have trouble with their knees. Like, this helps everyone. So for organizations, that means accessibility starts in design. It's not an afterthought. If you are checking at, if your last check is for accessibility, you are doing this wrong. The first thing you should do is design for accessibility by asking, who am I maybe leaving out of this experience? And making sure that you treat inclusion as a design pillar, not a nice to have. It's a must have. So that's the other one. To hear more about these conversations, you can of course check out, I feel like this is like one big ad. Sorry about that. The If You Ask Betty podcast and search for accessibility. Okay, number three, create safe places to practice, fail, and try again. And so this is all about how do we practice without penalty? And the thing is, I find that people, organizations, we're always at our best when we can try things, maybe fail, not do so great, learn, and then try again without blowing something up or actually hurting somebody, right? And so that's why I'm such a big fan of immersive tools like virtual reality, augmented reality, even really rich 360 simulations, because it can get people into these realistic situations. Maybe you're practicing safety procedures, even having a difficult conversation or leadership moments like having to let someone go. And you can make decisions and practice in a place where no one gets hurt. And that's both mentally, physically, emotionally. You can make those practices and do those things without anything actually breaking. It also helps that you can repeat them and repeat those circumstances until you get it right with no consequences. So I've always been a huge fan of this. In VR, AR, or those well-designed 360 simulations, you get to try out new behaviors, check out your consequences, and then restart and refine. So I'm a big fan of that. Also, just a side note, you don't have to have a headset to do this. You can actually view a VR experience on your desktop. You can do immersive role plays where everyone feels psychologically safe to be who they are and do what they need to do. So the core of this is make it safe to practice the hard stuff. And again, you can find lots of episodes about AR, VR, and simulations on the podcast since it happens to be something I love. Whew, number four, let's talk about making learning continuous by using curiosity, right? So stop treating learning like a one and done event. My whole imposter syndrome project is started because I do what I do best. I asked questions. I have a lot of questions all the time. And then I listened to a lot of people tell their stories. And what I learned from that, the biggest thing is that growth doesn't happen in one conversation. It happens in ongoing conversations, reflections, small experiments over time. So for people, for individuals, being your best looks like staying curious, you know, asking, what did I learn from that? Or even building your own personal board of directors. I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about this, but the idea of surrounding yourself with people who will tell you the truth in love and remind you of who you are when you forget. Like that's really important for individuals. For organizations, it's turning learning into learning journeys, not just a course, not just a here, let's show up. I'm going to teach you this one thing and we're never going to talk about it again. It's touch points before, during, and after learning that help make this an experience and less of an event. And giving people that space to practice and reflect, right? And making sure that we're sort of treating questions that people have as a catalyst, not a threat. Sometimes I think when people ask, they're afraid to ask questions in training or while they're learning something because they don't want it to sound like they're saying they don't agree. Actually, your question is going to help us all learn more and grow more. And so that's something important to me. I think when, you know, curiosity is a normal part, people are they're constantly tuning in and upgrading themselves, and that's when organizations really start to sort of hum along, right? And as you can imagine, or you maybe you've checked out the podcast, I have several series in the podcast, even one called How Loki is Every Learner, if you're familiar with Loki, the God of Mischief from Marvel series. So just a way to get ongoing conversations and richer perspectives. Whew, last one, number five. Okay. This is one you've been waiting for. Use technology to amplify, not replace, humanity. Okay. So I love learning about emerging tech. I always think it's really neat to learn about the things that are coming up. Where are they on the hype cycle? What do I need to pay attention to? I also write and speak about how emerging tech can actually support leadership development. So, like, let's take, I don't know, AI, because everybody's talking about it. We might as well. You can use AI coaches in learning and give leaders a safe place to sort of practice conversations, maybe get, real objective feedback without any bias. Like, it works really well. But here's the thing. AI and other tech should not replace human connection, right? It frees us up to have better connection because we can use tech to do things that otherwise we would be spending time on, and instead we can spend time coaching or strategizing. So we can use tech to scale practice and feedback. We can use it to shorten design times. I'm a big fan of using it to shorten design times and take on low priority tasks, right? The thing is, we become better humans by interacting with humans. And so the best organizations use technology to support that, not substitute it. Relationships are what really change people. So I know AI is, of course, a frequent topic on the podcast, especially in some of the most recent episodes about imposter syndrome and how AI sort of takes that imposter syndrome. Okay, I'm wrapping up now. If you're listening here and you're thinking, okay, buddy, that's a lot, you're right. But here's my challenge. Pick one of these and take some small action this week. Have a real conversation with your team member about self-doubt. Maybe audit one of your learning experiences for accessibility or pilot a small immersive project. You can do that for free, and give people a chance where they can, a place where they can safely fail at something, right? Whatever it is, pick one and do it. Take that next step on purpose. And you and your organization, you can choose to be your best one step at a time. Thanks for listening.
Betty, I found that absolutely fascinating, really, really intriguing. And you have such a great, engaging style, and you have such a cool accent as well.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing about you, Paul. You've got a great accent.
Just a message out to the subscribers to keep an eye on the events page for the activities that we have going on throughout the course of the year, most of which are available for free for subscribers. Betty, we normally have a tradition of doing a virtual high five, but I absolutely love when you do that thing with your. I think we should finish with that. Betty, thanks ever so much for your time today. It's so great to hear your thoughts on this. I always find your work so fascinating.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I hope you found that interview useful. And if you did, feel free to rate, review, and share this podcast. We'll be back next week with another episode, and we also invite you to check out our other weekly podcast, Going the Extra Mile, which is sure to lift your spirit and encourage you in today's working world. Bye for now.